Did anyone else know this? 30 floats. Why? I don't get that. That's like it's not really a hate crime. It's just pointless. You're just, I guess it's good if you fix flaps and you're really homophobic. That's the only thing I can figure out. I didn't like the Pride Parade today. I had to get somewhere that wasn't at the Pride Parade and I got rerouted a few times. But I've never seen an outpouring of so much like pro fucking. It was quite beautiful. I've never seen so many underage girls almost nude. It was weird. I realized I'm an adult and I'm not a pedophile because I really just wanted them to have a good time and to never look me in the eye. And I felt very good about that. There should be a parade for barbers. I realized recently that barbers are the real American heroes. If you've gone to a barber shop, you've heard awful conversations because that's what happened in barbershops. I'm assuming it's the same in salons. Merle? Okay, fantastic. I got my hair cut at the Belmont Barbershop, my favorite barbershop in the whole wide world. And these two gentlemen came in and they were very, very happy because they were going to Kenosha, Wisconsin this weekend for their bachelor party. And they had a big weekend planned. We found out all about this at the barbershop because he told everyone. They were going to buy three cases, 30-pack cases of Busch Light, and they were also going to get really fucked up, and they had no idea what was in store for them because, you know, the bachelor was there. Once the bachelor left, the best man informed us that they were just going to hire a couple of whores and see what happened. That was their big plan. He had no idea that he might come in something and regret it later. That was the whole idea of a bachelor party. And I'm engaged right now. I got engaged 2 months ago. And I want to make it clear that that is the exact bachelor party that I want. I want to drink the worst possible beer. So then the next 50 years of my life, I will remember living in total regret and possibly getting gnats attached to my body in the woods of Wisconsin because nothing says fun like a bunch of homoerotic, homophobic people in the woods drinking Busch Light. I like the Whistler. I don't think they sell Busch Light. I don't think they've considered selling Busch Light. But at the same time, they're not too hoity-toity because they serve Lone Star. For those of you that don't know, Lone Star is essentially like Pabst. I think they might be owned by Pabst. And I really hope that Pabst isn't homophobic. And I mention that because tires were slashed. And that's not a nice thing to do. I'm in a really weird mood right now. We did a 12-hour marathon show yesterday, as Merle and I did. And I was the only one not drinking. And that was a mistake. Yes, I was able to stay awake for 12 hours, but I had to watch very, very fun things happen with a lot of anger in my face. And that's not fun. I don't want to be angry anymore. Now it's become therapy, and no one likes that. Let's just move the show along, shall we? Let's do that. I'm just talking to myself with this, but how are you, Merle?
I'm good.
Good, fantastic. We have a fantastic show tonight. We have graphic novelist, cartoonist, whatever you want to call him, Paul Hortschmeyer. Please put your hands together for Paul. Hey, guys behind the bar, do you have any more buckets of ice here? Because that was perfect. That was timed exquisitely. We have comedy from one of the funniest men in Chicago, Mr. Will Miles. Please put your hands together for Will. And closing the night, we have music from a man that makes very, very, very beautiful music. His name is Mark Jenkins, and he plays in Lesser Birds of Paradise. Please clap for Mark. And we don't have a keyboardist tonight, our usual musician, because he was at Pride Parade, and he told me, he's really fucked up.
Oh, okay.
And I told him just not to come. Was that the right thing to do?
Our unusual friend of mine at a party starting at 7 a.m.,
What? They had a party at 7 a.m.?
Yeah.
That's never.
Fine.
All right, well, let me play a song for about 8 seconds, and then I'll sit down and we'll continue this thorough conversation. Esmeralda's a co-host. Please put your hands together for Esmeralda.
You Need Them Everybody wants to thank you for listening and also for subscribing to us on iTunes. We can always use the extra support, though. So why don't you say something nice about us on iTunes? Go ahead, give us a 5-star rating. This type of thing helps us out a lot and doesn't cost you a dime. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the show.
Alright, that's good. Fantastic, I thought.
You should have walked in a circle.
I should have. By the way, this is the first time that I'm not doing sound for the show, and it's already like 10 times better, so I want to thank Mike who's doing the sound right now. Why did I decide to drink wine during the show?
You're a classy, classy man.
I just feel divorced. We do stories, because that's what a talk show should do.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Well, I chose a bit of a theme, and these are the stories that just kept coming up, so I got to leave. The first one I got, it was in the Sunday Trim. I didn't even think this was a thing. I thought this was only in movies. But it's creating a fake date. If you go somewhere, like, say you go to a wedding, you need a date, or you're coming over to your boss's house for dinner, I don't know who does that,
Have a boss right now?
No, I do.
That's why you don't know how that works. Continue.
But you create a date rather than just telling the person, oh, I'm by myself, and I'm single, I don't have anybody. No, you create a date, and they tell you your 6 steps to pull it off. And I love the first one is, are you sure that you should be doing that? Just embrace your singledom. And if not, step two, know your audience, because if you don't, and they don't know you're single, and you bring your fake date, they will call you out on it, and then you'll probably cry, running out of the room, because they just outed you with your fake date.
That's reasonable. What's tip three?
Choose your accomplice wisely, because then again, you might be outed.
So don't cry for someone.
It's not going to be like that when you're away. Also, get your story straight, because you're going to have to have a backstory, because you're this big fat lie.
What would your backstory be?
Oh, well, you know, like how you met.
Well, yeah, I know. What would yours be?
I would do the generic. I met him at a bar.
Now you seem like an alcoholic. Same thing.
But everyone meets someone at the bar.
No.
Bar. Only me.
No offense to people that met tonight at the Whistler.
In my fake date scenario,
number
I'm
five.
A drunkard. Show affection, but not too much.
So, heavy petting is approved.
No.
Not heavy petting.
Go all out and make it out with them.
When would you do this at your boss's house? When would you make out with your spouse?
This is what they're telling you. I'm pulling off, right?
All right.
And then the sixth one is, if you can't find anyone to do a fake date, you can just pretend that, oh, my date's out of town. They couldn't come with me. I feel like that's the worst one to do. That's so sad.
Well, yes, it's very, very sad. Thanks for making fun of all the single people, women in a relationship for the past 5 years.
Seven years.
Well, you've never had this situation happen to you.
Yeah, I have.
Okay.
Well, I'm assuming you just be like, I don't have fucking anyone. Fuck you.
All right. Well,
this is what you have to do.
You have to tell your boss to fuck off.
I just think it's ridiculous that there's actually a how-to on how to have a fake date. Because it's so embarrassing to be single.
Well, it's a very shameful
thing.
That's
Obama thing about that.
That's a fact. It's shameful to be single. Next story.
So if you find your person, right? There was a Gallup poll about the preference when you're pregnant and you want children. The most Americans say they would rather have a son than a daughter.
I thought that's how it's always been.
Well, funny enough, the numbers are much like 1941.
Good. That was a great year.
But I also like
things were looking up in 41.
But they had little categories like more Republicans wanted boys than girls.
Okay.
Which makes sense, right?
Why would that make sense?
Because they're Republican.
Yep. Probably.
Yeah. Man, love boys.
And they all talk like that too.
And people that were educated also wanted more boys than men.
For labor?
Yeah, or more boys than men.
More boys than men, more boys to men. We all want more boys to men. By the way, boys to men is sworn as a three-piece. What happened to the other guy? Also, what are any of their names? No one will ever know. Next.
The dude with the deep voice.
Yeah, but what's his name?
Dude, he should just change his name to Dude with the Deep Voice.
Yep, Devin the Deep Voice. Deep Voice to Men. Deep Voice to Men. Deep Throating Boys and Men. That was in the Pride Parade. Deep Throating Boys and Men. Yeah.
It was a whole float of big throat.
It was really good. They didn't even need wheels on their floats. They were powered by love.
they all powered by oral?
Some are powered by oral sex.
And
cum. Is that your tag for every story? And cum.
And cum.
Fantastic. This is what happens when the stage is dark. You just start talking about ejaculate.
Because they don't get to see us, and then when we walk off the stage, they don't know what I was talking about.
Yeah, that's it.
Hopefully. See me 2 days later at the supermarket. You're that lady talking about cum. Anyway.
I'm on this date.
At the supermarket. And so Good Morning America did a whole thing about babies wearing bikinis. Because in fact, it's true, people are making tiny little bikinis for babies.
That's adorable.
I think it's horrific.
Why is that horrific?
Well, one, those bikinis, they had side ties on some of them. Where does the diaper?
Yeah.
They're pooping in the pool.
Yeah. That's cute. Yeah, that's cute. Wait, why are you putting a baby in a bikini in a pool? They can't really swim. It's just more for sunbathing. Don't you want your baby to have a tan?
Babies to sunbathe.
Well, then why even have a baby? You don't want a beautiful baby? You don't want your baby to have a ton of fun? You don't want your baby to be the most fun baby in the world?
Well, I sometimes think enjoyment is dangerous.
Enjoyment is not dangerous. Enjoyment is the best thing ever. There can't be one thing that could possibly go wrong with having too much good times.
You know what? Wrong right now, because coming up,
yes,
we're having a safety expert slash accidentalist and DK editor come up.
What are you talking about?
He's gonna come. He's gonna show you a thing or two.
This is not
fucking enjoyment.
I don't like this idea. I want to just be enjoying my entire life. I don't want anyone to tell me.
Well, he's gonna ruin it for you.
All right. Well, apparently, what's his name?
DK editor.
Coming to the stage, please put your hands together and be for safety expert and accidentalist DK editor.
Give me a moment here, folks. Just give me one moment. Just give me one moment here, folks.
Hello, my name is DK Edgar, and I'm from Cross Timbers, Missouri. I am a As the young man said, I am an accidentalist and safety expert, and I want to thank you for having me at your Whistler restaurant this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, today we're going to talk about something that everybody wants to have, and lots of it. No, not money, fun. But sometimes the having of fun has very dangerous consequences to be wrought. And that's why this presentation is called, Is It Fun to Die? The Dangers of Enjoyment. Now, folks, we love to let the good times roll, especially this time of year. We love to let the good times roll, but they can have very serious consequences, as I stated before. And let's go ahead and start off with the two root causes of 64% of all preventable accidents, which of course are horseplay and grab ass. Now, if I was to come here and tell you that there is a silent killer in our midst, silently killing our youth, you'd say, oh, DK, let's raise some money. Let's have a bake sale. I'll shine up my New Balance shoes. We'll have a fun run. We'll make some money. We'll get this under control. Well, buddy, I'm here to tell you, it's right here in front of your face in the forms of horseplay and grab ass. Now, a very significant subset of horseplay and grab ass is, of course, mischiefs. Now, I like to have fun. You say, well, DK, what's wrong? What's wrong with pulling a few little pranks every now and again? I say nothing. I like to pull a prank or two every now and again. Just the other day, I told my wife, Corrine. I said, Corrine, get in the car. We're going to Ryan's Steakhouse. She got in the car. She buckled her safety belt, of course. We all got in the car, started up the car. I said, just kidding. We're going to Golden Corral. And she said, oh, Donald Kenneth, what are we going to do with you? And nobody got hurt, you see. A lot of times, mischief manifests itself. Can y'all see this okay? I know the light isn't very good or very safe, for that matter. Sometimes mischiefs manifest themselves in the throwing of commode paper or eggs that are purposefully rotted. I'm going to go ahead and give you an example of how that can turn tragic. Let's say there's a boy named Timmy, and he don't like old man Magruder down the street. And he's going to go ahead, he's got his buddies together, and they're feeling their wild oats, and they're going to throw eggs and commode paper at old man Magruder's place. So they wait until it's real late at night, and they go over there, and they go to chucking them rotten eggs. But what they don't know about old man Magruder is he is a Vietnam veteran, and he suffers from toxic shock syndrome. And when he sees little Timmy throwing them eggs, he thinks it's Charlie Kong chucking grenades at him, and he shoots Timmy dead. Let's try to remember that eggs and commode paper are for eating and for private. Let's move it along now, shall we? Another fun activity that we like to do this time of year, of course, are picnics. And you say, well, DK, what could go wrong at a picnic? I say nothing, except for insect bites, lost sandals, abductions, etc. But I've devised a clever acronym to help you guys remain safe at picnics. That acronym, of course, is duodenum. Because you eat at a picnic, and duodenum, of course, is a digestive organ. All right, let's go through these real quick. D, don't leave children unattended. U, undesirables. Look out for them, buddy. Only a fool refuses to use sunscreen. Don't you forget about Frisbees. They'll knock you right in the head. Eat all you want, if all you want is danger. No excuse or apology is going to get your automobile back. It's going to get your daughter back. It's going to get your finger back. Unless you brought it, don't eat it. And finally, M, mention my name and get a 10% discount on all safety products at Holloman's Hardware in Cross Timbers, Missouri. That's more for the hometown presentations, but I appreciate you listening. Let's go ahead and move on and look at something else that you might need to look out for this time of year.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. That is not... Oh, someone is trying to make a fool of me. I apologize. Let's just move on to the next one. A lot of people ask me, DK, the internet pages, are they haunted?
Not to our knowledge at this time. But they are fraught with many dangers, which brings me to a little plug here on your show. If you'd like to learn more about the dangers of the internet pages, please inquire after the show. I can do a presentation at your synagogue or your church or your KC Hall. My award-winning presentation, Point, Click, You're Dead. What you cannot afford to not know about the internet pages.
We go over all the dangers, including scoliosis from postures. Ellipses.
You have ellipses seizures from overexposure to the internet. Scam schemes and nefarious plots. Now, friends, I don't have a lot more time. I wish I could get into a lot more details. I wish I could go on and on. I wish I could tell you about some new research I just read about that connects excessive candy corn consumption to anal fissures. I wish I could sit here all night and tell you about that if I could get through just one of you. But I got to keep going. We're on a tight schedule here. We don't have that much time for safety. We've got more time for foolishness here. I wish I could tell you more about the coming robot wars, where the robots rise up and kill their fleshy oppressors, but I don't have time. I wish I could. And I don't have time to tell you why swimming is always a bad idea. I want to talk about a fellow I know who represents peer pressure to me. This is our old friend, Billy Badself.
Billy Badself always likes to encourage you to engage in foolish and unsafe behaviors. Billy Badself is always the guy at the high school. He's got the shiniest Camaro. He's got the girlfriend with the heaviest set chest. She's a real good looking gal. He's always telling, "Come on, man, be cool. Jaywalk. Drink a beer. Let's play gin rummy for money. Let's have a good time. What are you, scared? Are you a wuss?" Maybe Billy Badself is here to try to push on you one of the most deadliest street drugs that I have seen in the last 20 years. And that, of course, is, and you guys have probably heard about this, it's a pretty hip place. You guys probably heard about these. Those, of course, are Chambly Wobblies. Chambly, giggle on it if it's funny to you, sir. This is having a disastrous effect on the youth. I want to apologize for your host. Chambly Wobblies are marijuana-infused snickerdoodle cookies, and they're having a very nefarious effect on the youth because the kids think they're just normal cookies, and a guy like Billy will give it to them, and before you know it, they're all tripping on the magic bus with the incense and the peppermints, and they just got to have more of these cookies and more of these cookies and more of these cookies. And before you know it, they're selling their bodies in pay showers and truck stops for marijuana and people. Giggle on it! I've seen it happen! Giggle on it if sexual slavery is funny to you, Winsler. Well, I guess there's just nothing else I can tell you guys. I want to tell you something. There's a million ways. I got some bad news for you. There's a million ways to die. I got some good news for you. There's a million and one ways to be safe. My name is DK Edger, and safety can happen at any time. Thank you.
DK Edger, over to you.
Thank you.
That was a very informative presentation. I promise I will no longer have fun, ever. Esmeralda, I'd like to say I'm very disappointed in you for bringing on such a person onto this show. Fantastic.
I just wanted to come on.
Thanks a lot. I know that DK has some safety videos online that you can watch. I don't recommend watching them if you want to have a good time.
Are you sick of shows that promise to entertain but leave you holding your dick? Are you sick of open mics? Then put down your dick and come to You Meet Them Everybody Presents every Monday and Tuesday night at the Hungry Brain, 2319 West Belmont, Chicago, Illinois. Music better than anything you'll hear at an open mic. Stand-up comedy better than anything you'll hear at an open mic. Literature that isn't poetry so it doesn't suck. And it's better than anything you'll hear at an open mic. Because it's not fucking poetry. Films from Chicago filmmakers who don't need to attend open mics.
Because they don't have to.
Weird stuff like some guy walking on glass that's so cool, even it would fly to fucking open mic. It's You, Me, Them, Everybody Presents. Doors open at 8 p.m., performances at 9 p.m., 21 plus only.
Children should be left at home and will not be allowed in because they suck.
It's You, Me, Them, Everybody Presents every Monday and Tuesday night at the Hungry Brain. Full lineup available at You, Me, Them, Everybody.
Coming to the stage, he's a cartoonist, he's a graphic novelist, and most importantly, he's a nice guy. He's a really nice guy. Please put your hands together for Paul Hornschmeyer. It'll be Paul Hornschmeyer.
You're a graphic novelist,
You're married.
That's true.
you're very attractive
in my spare time.
And you have some of your works that have been published in more than one language.
That is true.
That's crazy.
It is the very definition of insanity.
Yep, that's exactly how I define insanity. What's the name of your new book?
The new book is Life with Mr. Danger.
Life with Mr. Danger. Is it a compilation of sorts?
It was serialized for about 4 years in a book called Rome, published by Fantagraphics, and now published by Random House. And
that's crazy! That you're successful!
Being published in other languages and by Random House is crazy.
Yeah.
I think you're going to need to revise that.
I just like being shocked by positive things.
So people that you see like on the streets in Chicago, if they're not published in other languages, they can ask you for like a Martian hat for their cat. That's not crazy.
That's just any night at Humboldt Park.
Exactly.
And you live at Humboldt Park.
I used to live in that area.
Why did you move?
Have you been to Humboldt Park?
Yes, I used to live like a block from you. I moved after my scooter was stolen.
Yes.
It was fun. I couldn't ride it anymore.
I just had a certain quota for murders, and they surpassed that. And so now I.
But your wife is still alive.
Usually.
Fantastic!
Yes.
See, that's crazy too! Alive wives. No, you are a successful man. What made you want to do this? Be successful. Yeah. Now, what made you want to become a cartoonist?
I tried failure for so many years.
You were in a band.
I was in a band.
Very good band, but like most of you rock bands, it didn't pay the bills, probably.
No, not really.
Very good band, though. Can we talk about Arcs?
Sure.
You were in Arcs.
I was.
You're no longer in Arcs.
This is very true.
Moving on! Now you're a full-time... This is your job. You're a full-time artist.
This is what I do every day.
Are you happy with that?
I would say I'm mostly happy with it. Yes.
Why mostly? What can I do to make it better?
I don't know. I don't know that I can ever be... I think I tend to be pretty introspective. And
is that what makes an artist an artist?
Yes. That and lots of piercings.
Do you have any piercings?
I have none.
And you don't drink alcohol?
I have none.
But you're able to wear a jean shirt and not look like Jay Leno.
I do collect cars.
Do you really?
Absolutely, and I tell shitty jokes. So
you're being meaner than me right now. It's great.
Fuck you.
Oh, don't say that. He's everyone's favorite
character. He is great.
He's the best. Factually the best.
That's right.
There's a one fact in the world that Jay Leno is the best man ever. Not even comic, just man.
Just man.
If you're gonna aspire to be like one man, it's Jay Leno.
That's.
You never want to talk to your wife. You have hundreds of thousands of cars, and you murder.
And you screw over comedians. Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of not screwing over comedians, you designed the recent logo for Comedy Bang Bang.
Yes.
Would you consider yourself a comedy nerd?
I'm very much a comedy nerd. I actually just did a bunch of artwork for there. They're shooting a pilot for the independent film channel.
That's great.
And I just did a bunch of artwork for the pilot.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I like all those guys. So.
Are you doing anything right now that you're not happy with? That's a sincere question.
No, not really. Besides it. No. Everything's going fairly well now. So.
Do you give any advice for...
Not blossoming, that's a bad word. For people that are in the show Blossom.
Yeah, what did you think of the show Blossom?
It was great. Love those hats.
What do you think happened to Blossom's older brother? Successful.
Oh, wait, not Joey?
Not Joey. He had an older brother. It was real sad. He became an ambulance driver, and then there was a weird crossover episode where they dated Hillary from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Okay. This is all news to me.
What kind of advice would you give for this fictional character whose name we can't remember?
Just keep driving.
Keep driving. That's keep good on. Advice. But isn't that bad for the environment?
Spiritually
driving. Right. How do you drive your spirit?
I try to find my power animal.
What is that?
And it is an opossum.
Is that a possum?
Yes.
Is that because you, like, accidentally murdered a possum while driving?
Actually, the people that lived next door to me in college beat a possum to death.
Holy, are you serious?
On a fire escape. I'm pretty sure they're all serial killers.
Out of fear or love or, like, was a possum?
Out of being really fucking drunk.
That's... Like, is that why you don't drink? Because you didn't murder possums?
Yes, exactly. I've seen it happen.
That's good advice.
We heard it firsthand.
Okay. Are you
Wait, are you serious?
I'm super serious.
So, like, why don't they just hit it, like, once out of fear? I get that. They'd be like, oh my god, it's about to hit it. But murdering it?
Yeah. See, I lived on a street where it was basically the people who were too drunk and fucked up to get into fraternities lived on that street.
Where did you go to school?
Ohio State.
So you miss
Ohio? Which is almost all a fraternity anyway.
You're from Ohio?
I am from Ohio.
Do you miss it?
Have you been to Ohio?
Yes.
It's the whole park of the middle. There's not a lot going on. I like a lot of things in Ohio.
Would you move back to Ohio?
I would not.
Would that make your dreams fail if you moved back to Ohio?
Yes, absolutely. Oh, everybody, I mean, even, you know, the Wright brothers had to do their great stuff outside of Ohio. They had the bike shop there, discovered, you know, flying planes, Kitty Hawk.
Have you gone back?
What's that?
Are you back?
I go back quite often.
I
tore the entire state, flipping off everyone, including my parents who still live there.
What do your parents think of this career choice? But they were not.
I will tell you this: the book just got on the New York Times bestseller list.
Bestseller list.
So
did you cheat bestseller list?
I did on the plane, which is what I found out.
You're a real jet setter. Ooh, you're on planes and bestseller
list. I was just looking. I was on top of it. I was only number six on the list, and my mother said, number six isn't too bad. That was the reaction. So there you go.
Did you beat her like a possum?
I fought my wife and my sisters were awesome, but no, it was, that's sort of my parents. The thing is, they're hardwired to brag about their offspring to the other offspring, but never to whoever actually accomplished anything.
Do you see a therapist?
Most of them, yes. I go to all of them.
That's
all of them.
So wait, what do they brag to you about?
They would tell me about, like, my sister's an astrophysicist. They would tell me about things she's done. So
you haven't got to go there, astrophysicist.
Yeah, I know. You know, she won on me. So.
Yeah, she did.
No.
So do you work at home?
I do work at home.
How does that work with having a wife?
She never comes home. She's not allowed to. She's homeless, actually.
You look like a possum. Stay outside.
Absolutely.
I will beat you dead with a bat.
But the soup kitchens are so generous.
Why did you move from home? Where do you live now?
We live in Edison.
Oh, yes. That's really nice.
Yes. We live inside of Prius. And we live inside of green. I have to admit, I was really unnerved moving there because there was a hummingbird alighting on a branch when we first walked up to our place. I was like, I think we're moving into a fucking Disney cartoon, and I don't feel like I'm going to be inspired living here. But then the next day, I was out walking just to go get a sandwich, and there was a guy screaming in falsetto dialogue from a He-Man cartoon, doing both parts of He-Man and Skeletor himself.
I
was like, all right, everything's going to be okay.
That's great. I had a He-Man birthday party.
Oh.
Maybe that's my dad.
He's
in Evanston.
He brought you up.
That's good.
Yes, so.
Dude, he's my spirit animal. My dad.
That I've never met. He's
my spirit animal.
You're crazy He-Man obsessed.
Well, it makes sense why I like that cartoon.
Absolutely.
That's a weird cartoon.
I actually rewatched it recently.
Why? Oh, that's because you work at home.
Yes.
Yeah. What's your schedule like?
I wake up at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I work until about 11:30. Yeah.
Seriously?
7 days a week.
Do you love it?
I love it.
Do you drink a lot of coffee?
This is just pounds of Coke. It snows.
So no alcohol.
No alcohol.
A ton of Coke.
You know, fucking cut out the
middle. Well, now you got bestseller money, which is like $18 a week. It's great.
Yeah. In this economy, exactly. He's like, sold 5 books here.
Would you want to, if someone optioned your book for a film or a television show, would you be cool with that? Would you want that to happen?
I'm actually working on screenplay stuff for various people right now.
Could we break some news?
I can talk about it.
Could you make up some lies and call it breaking news?
Judd Apatow and I are working on a project. It's about the Beanie Baby craze.
Good.
And I really think it's going to be the big hit of 2014.
It's a good hit.
Absolutely.
You can probably ship a lot of Coke and Beanie Babies.
That's
Is that literally.
Is that it?
Yes.
So all my coke is research.
Exactly.
And you're going to be traffic because it's so...
Yes. Super bad beats traffic was our pitch.
So. I like how you're supposed to feel sympathetic for Michael Douglas' character in traffic.
Exactly.
But it's Michael Douglas?
Pardon.
Oh, the guy who's had everything handed to him and now is dating Catherine Zeta-Jones and divorcing your loving wife with your son.
Life's tough.
It's great. I'm going to cancer. I'm cheering up Michael Douglas. My dad will never die. That's what is in Michael Douglas' head every day. I think we just walk somebody with all that Michael Douglas hatred.
He's a
Douglas fan.
That's actually his son.
That's his son is a dark.
Yeah. That was a man.
That's cool. That's a hot man. That's a hot piece of man. Moreau, what's your favorite hot piece of man right now?
Do tell. Pride Parade. Demon. So.
Abs.
Just abs?
Just
that's a good answer. Good answer.
I'm referring to a man that went by abs, like who's American Gladiator, and was like, there's nitro on that abs. He just breaks people with his abs. Alright.
How would you do that?
But sexily, I believe.
I think you have to, like, essentially smother them with abs. That's kind of hard to get.
You could
make
them. If you have really hard abs.
It's not even a sex crime, it's just a weird one. Just a weird thing.
Yes, if you pull that off, it's not.
Yeah.
No, that's admissible, of course.
Yeah.
So you get off.
If you have crazy abs like that, you probably can't have sex.
Nope.
No. Because the abs are so big.
You would kill crushing them.
That's sad. That guy will never have sex again. That's really sad.
You should draw that
ab. Draw an ab man, right? Do it, monkey!
You should make a comic. That is actually a running gag between me and everybody who does comics, is that every time I walk into any situation, you know, someone can be like, you know, I just dropped the plate. Oh, you should do a comic on that. That's what, you know, that's all
it's really
shit
boring. I thought Ab Man, not
Ab Man. Ab Man is much better.
That's brilliant.
Yes, absolutely. That's cool. I'm going to suggest that to do that.
Paul, you've done the show before, but it was a one-on-one show. It was actually in depth to talk a lot about it. I'm really glad that tonight we got to do an interview that really asked no questions about your personal life or professional life or nothing really interesting about you.
We've covered nothing.
It's great. Amazing. But you are a very, very talented artist. I have some of your work, and I highly recommend buying it. And if you've never bought a graphic novel, you have an anthology, not the most recent one, but is that 2 years old now?
Which
I think it's a Fancy Graphics one.
There's Let's Be Perfectly Clear and All the Sundries.
That's the one.
Okay.
That's a great starter because they're like, it's
sort of everything.
Exactly. You're a very, very great artist. So if you don't know who Chris Ware is and you think Paul's interesting, pick up that book first, I'd say. I think that's fair.
Sure. You can pick up that. Energy.
Well, yes.
I don't know which one is he gets. So.
All of them. Which one will you make the most money on?
None of them. Actually, probably the fan graphics ones I would make the most fun.
Yeah, not Random House.
Random House.
Dude, is yours going to be on a Kindle canopy? Does Kindle have photos?
They're sort of trying to figure out how to... I think all the major publishers are kind of shitting themselves about all that stuff right now. So.
It's like, I guess on an iPad or an iBook still work?
Right.
But
yes.
That's it?
Yeah, I mean, Color Kindle, I think, is another year or two off. Let's talk about technology for like
this. It's a podcast! That's what probably the hippest part of Chicago wants to hear about.
Absolutely.
Let's end this interview with a question from the Kids Book of Questions. We're retiring this book. We're all...
You are.
Oh, yeah, we have...
You've used this for a long time.
Yeah. I've been working on pages since the beginning of the year, I think.
Yeah.
We've come to the conclusion that you will get the last question tomorrow night. So, yes. Paul, I need you to pick a number between 162 and 235.
204.
204.
What is that?
It doesn't matter. Don't worry. I will figure it out. We don't have that. We have 205. You get 205.
205. That's my favorite.
205. Do you believe in God? Wait.
Oh,
if not, why do you think so many people believe in God? Wait. If so... What do you think God does all day? Once again, this is from the Kids Book of Questions by Greg.
This is for children.
PhD, yes. Once again, do you believe in God? If not, why do you think so many people believe in God? If so, what do you think God does all day?
Okay, I do not believe in God. The reason that I think so many people do believe in God is that I think humans are biologically predisposed to look for causation because there's evolutionary advantageous
things involved in that. There's actually several good papers on that if people want to Google it. This is really important. You're asking them to tell me I have a degree, so this is like plus. So this is the shit I study. This is bored.
Have you had a happy day in your life?
I have had many.
Oh wow, that's
and
rare for a philosopher.
It was because of God.
Oh, that's good. What do you think God would do all day?
Just rim jobs.
Tanning. The answer is
tanning. Spray on tanning. Yeah, absolutely. Just everywhere.
He's afraid of cancer like the rest of us.
True.
Yep. If we learn one thing today, it's God's afraid of cancer.
Insane.
Paul, you have some stuff to plug. What are we plugging?
People
are clapping you off stage.
The fuck off stage.
There's a God, faggot! Could you please name your
Get the bricks cartoon, boy.
We serve booze here! Not thoughts! Wouldn't it be great if a bar served thought?
Okay, that would be amazing.
No, it wouldn't!
Life of Mr. Dangerous is out now. I have a postcard collection coming out from Chronicle.
That's a good gift.
It's a very nice gift. It's got mom jokes in it.
If you want to buy some art from an atheist, he's your man.
A godless piece of shit.
What's your website?
My website is forlornfunnies.com.
Forlornfunnies.com. Paul Hornschwer, everybody. Please put your hands together for Paul Hornschwer.
Howdy, y'all! Do you like stand-up comedy?
Yay-ho!
At Comics and Villains, we've got more stand-up comedy than you can fuck a rattlesnake with! We've got so many stand-up comedians, we might have to start a zoo! Or Section 8 housing! Comics and Villains is every second Thursday of the month at the Lucky Number Grill, 1935 North Milwaukee Avenue. Some of our past comedians include Mike Leibowitz, James Fritz, Dana Callis, Cameron Esposito, Bill Cruz, Colin Bull, Napoleon Bonaparte, the Putter Bar Sisters, John Mick, Canada Forrest, my dick, Ken Whiskel, Maggie Abney, Sam Norton, Tupac Shakur, Ryan Walker, Jeff Steinbrenner, Ray Stans, Ken Barnyard, Abraham Lincoln, Lauren Vino, Casey Brown, Marty DeRosa, Joe Kilgour, Chris Conrad, and Junior Stopka. Well, drinks are only $3 and strong enough to make your dick soft. So come on down to Comics and Villains every second Thursday at 8 p.m. at the Lucky Number Grill. Happy trails!
This was really good. I thought Paul did a great job. Merle, what did you think?
He is very witty.
Have you seen Will before?
Have I seen what?
Will Miles. Have you seen Will Miles perform before?
Yeah, I want to say yes.
Okay. He's really, really good, and I'm really happy he's doing this show. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Mr. Will Miles, everybody. Will Miles!
Thank you very much. How are you guys doing, the Whistler? Woo! Very apathetic. That's good. It's a good sign. I like that I couldn't find this bar. It's a great bar. I'm excited. Who wins the Pride Parade earlier today? I thought you said they would be liberal. What's going on here? No, I worked it. It was a fun day today. It was a fun day for me. I gotta start out by saying somebody the other day was like, Will, why do you sound like a white guy trying to sound like a black guy? And I was like, You know what? Fuck you, Mom. That is ridiculous. How are you judging me? I'm not on Entourage at all.
What?
She was calling me a wigger, and we can't use that word. So we are banned. I'm pretty white by all standards, I guess they say. I don't know why people judge me a lot. I really want to be a thug. I try to be a thug now, but I only do it when I'm asking girls out. Trying to pick up girls, because it fits me. Last week I called this girl, I was like, hey girl, I sell drugs. Just to start out, you know. She knows what I'm on after that. I was like, I do thug shit all day, I do mad thug shit, I'm a fucking thug. Do you want to do some thug shit with me? That's how my conversation was. That's how you do it when you're picking up girls. And she was like, yeah. So I was like, oh, this is great. So I picked her up, and she quickly found out that I wasn't a thug, because, I pulled up to her, I was like, get in the car, Snowflake. She was white. I was like, get in the car, Snowflake. And she was like, hey, wait a minute, you're not a thug at all. I was like, what do you mean? I'm definitely a thug. She was like, no, thugs don't drive Volvos. And I was like, thugs can be in whatever car they want. She was like, yeah, but your mom is in the driver's seat. You're not actually a thug. But she still slept with me, so it was good. Good day. I did let one thing slip, though, in the middle of the doing the thing with her, you know, sex. That thing. I let something slip that I wasn't supposed to slip. I let my race down. I'm sorry to the one man in this room who was a part of my race. Oh, two men. All right, good. We have another one. No, but I let something slip I'm not proud of. In the middle of the sex, she was like, ooh, Will, put that big Negro dick inside me. And I was like, whoa. I mean, all right, I guess I can. It's not time for activism. I'm just trying to get a nut here. But then I marched on Washington afterwards. It was cool. I sang We Shall Come Again. Changed up a little bit. Modern times. No, I'm not a thug. My cousin is a much better thug than I am. It's like he's at practice or something. He was from Harlem. He is from Harlem, I should say. He's not dead. Yeah. But no, he's from Harlem. He's a tough guy. I was like 15 years old and I had to visit him. He was 9 years old. 6 years younger than me. I thought, okay, cool, this will be easy. My mom was like, go downstairs and go play with your little cousin. He's 9. I'm like, all right, this will be whatever. I'll go do it. I get downstairs. My cousin has 3 BB guns in his hand. Like, all right, dude, let's shoot these at each other. I was like, absolutely not. But he was adamant about it. He called me a little bitch and everything, even though he was 6 inches shorter than I was. So I was like, all right, man, I'm just going to hide in the corner and cry. And you go do what you do with your friend. And he and his buddy started shooting the BB guns at each other in the middle of the street as hard as they could, if you can shoot hard. So they start shooting each other in the middle of the street, middle of the streets of Harlem. My cousin all of a sudden gets shot in his eye by a BB gun. One of the BBs gets lodged in there. I'm like, oh shit, man, I'm gonna go get my mom. This is fucking crazy. He's like, nah, man, don't be no snitch. Don't be no snitch. I was like, nah, man, I just shit my pants. I need an adult and hug ASAP. I'm not exactly sure how we're related at all. I enjoy certain things. I enjoy hanging at gas stations. I think they're a fun place. If you're like a stoner, you can always go to a gas station and figure out kind of what the neighborhood is like too. It's a fun place. The blunts are much cheaper than the worst neighborhoods. But the clientele is so fun. So one thing I do, I hang out in gas stations every morning. I do this thing. I have a cup of coffee, a honey bun, and I grab a blunt at the store. And that's my morning. That's my morning routine. It's the Breakfast of Champions. I do it every single day when I wake up at like 12:30 p.m. Because I don't have a job. What's the job for? And I was in there the other day, and this girl kind of upset my whole morning routine. I was getting my coffee, and this girl just scoots up to me. She's on a scooter and looks at me for a second and is like, hey, mister, you're kind of weird because you got like a small head and a really fat body. It's like, this little bitch. I'm just getting coffee, what the fuck? And I yelled at her, I was like, you know what, fuck you. Who the fuck scoots around the store? And I yelled at her in the middle of the store. Later I found out her mom was the store owner, so I'm never gonna go back to it again. But I was walking out and I was like, I should be really upset at myself. I really just got mad at a little 12-year-old girl for accurately describing my body type. That was mean, I should repent myself, but I've never been back. I thought about it, and adults do the same shit to me all the time, but it's much different. Like, adults will sometimes come up to me and say, hey, Will, has anyone ever told you you look a lot like Forrest Whitaker? And like, damn, you're saying I have a small head and a fat body, that's perfect. At first, you're like, oh, he's famous, that's cool. He was in several movies, he's got, like, an Oscar maybe, I don't know. But then you realize he's, like, the ugliest dude in the world. That's actually an insult. I don't have any hot dogs in the back of my neck at all. And if you're thinking I don't look like Forrest Whitaker now, it's because I grew my hair out and I fixed my eye, so I changed a little bit since the old days. I actually grew up in a neighborhood called Boys Town, if you can believe it. I was the one child ever to be raised in Boys Town. Has anyone ever been raised in Boys Town in this room alone? Obviously not. I would have known you. It was a rough childhood. Kind of fun though, kind of weird. I moved there at like 7 years old from the west side of Chicago, which was totally different. My mom was like, come on, kids, we're moving to Boys Town. I was like, oh, fuck, yeah. I hate girls. Let's go right now. This is going to be awesome. I'll meet you there on my scooter. This is going to be incredible. Fuck girls. Out of this cool shit picture in my head of like bikes falling from the heavens and just porn paving the streets and like shirts and skins football games all day long, every day. And we got there around this time during this thing called the Pride Parade, and I found that I was absolutely right. Only I was like, where in the hell is the shirts team out here? Pretty sure the skins team got double picks. How come everybody is running like that? Everybody was catching balls, but nobody's throwing them. That's and that's where I stopped that joke. Now, but I don't know. It made me kind of weird. I get called a hipster now because they look at me and they say, "Oh, you're weird." Because I think they're pretty sure they call you a hipster if you're black and you like white shit, like drinking coffee and reading books. Stop calling that white shit. I just went to college. I don't know. I have a degree. What do you mean? Still black. I don't know, I got called a hipster by this magazine. They were like, Will Miles is one of the top hipster comedians in the city. I was like, cool, at least 3 out of 5. That's not bad at all. This is a fun title. And she was like, whoa, what does this mean that we call you this great hipster comedian? I was like, I don't really know what it means because I'm too cool for it. So I don't know. I don't have any response for it. I don't know what it is. And she was like, come on, Will, you know, you are what you fuck. That's weird. I was like, are you serious? Like, that's crude and crass. And doesn't that also make me that Mexican girl that works at the Wendy's down the street? Would you call me Lupita Comedian Will Miles? Because it doesn't make any sense. Took Spanish 101, it should be Lupita anything. The masculine version. I'm a little sad today, too, because I just got out of this two-year relationship. It's a sad thing. You can awe for that. It's sad because I didn't know what was in it at all. She wrote me a text like, Will, have you been fucking other women? And I wrote back, who is this? How exactly do you have this number? I think you're looking for drunk Will. He'll be back in about 3 or 4 hours at the Whistler. By the way, he just said you're in here as roast beef curtains. I don't know what that's about at all. And she just wrote back, hey, have I ever told you you look a lot like Forrest Whitaker? Bitch. Thank you. That's it for me. Good night, everybody.
Will Miles, everybody. Will Miles.
Straight in interview mode.
Have you, do you have an album?
I don't have an album
exactly.
Right now.
Are you going to record an album soon?
I will soon, yes.
What did you think about naming that album Drinking Coffee and Reading Books?
Yes, good. That is a great idea.
It's a good, you could tour with Mike Birbiglia with that. He is the whitest comic ever.
He is.
But he's a white man.
Story tells about sleeping time and shit.
Do you still live in Boys Town?
No, I moved out of Boys Town. I live in not too far from here at Fullerton International.
That's pretty close.
If you're stalking me, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's a nice area.
It's a good area. There's not much business around there, but there's good people.
Yeah. You used to be a teacher.
Yeah, I was a special ed teacher.
I know a special ed.
Yeah.
Wow, so you like help the world and shit.
I did. Thank you. Yeah.
Wait. He stops. He doesn't do it.
I can do it.
I'm going to stand up constantly.
I stop so I can drink this shit and tell jokes.
Yeah, why did you, is that exactly why you stopped?
Yeah, no, I really did.
What does your mom think about that?
She doesn't know what to think. She doesn't seem happy, but she doesn't seem mad either yet.
Oh, okay. She just is despondent.
Yeah.
That's good. You're currently writing for the Red Eye.
I write a blog for the Red Eye about dating.
How? That's a fact. That's weird.
It's a true
story.
How
does someone get a job writing for the Red Eye, specifically dating advice?
They saw my tweets on Twitter, ironically. Modern World, right?
Yeah, I follow Will. That's how I know he was watching the BET Awards tonight. How was Kevin Hart as a host?
Kevin Hart was all right. He's not.
He's not bad.
He didn't wow me, but he wasn't that bad at all.
Who should have hosted?
Me.
Mike Birbiglia was all right.
Mike Birbiglia.
That'd be a BET Awards. Yeah.
That would be the most silent BET Awards.
You're opening for Hannibal?
Hannibal
for a week straight at Zanies.
July 12th through the 17th at Zanies.
Are you going to be funnier than Hannibal?
I hope so.
No, the answer is yes.
Fight
with Hannibal.
Yeah.
I can't,
I'm gonna be way funnier.
I can't imagine you and Hannibal ever even raising your voices. You're two of the quietest comedians ever.
It's true. We actually hang out in New York a lot when I go up there.
Oh, now you're bragging.
No. He's a big guy, I guess. No. Yeah, true. Handbrake. Yeah, he's huge.
How easy is it for you to find a random woman to sleep with every night?
Well, now a lot harder.
You just get 15 minutes about her, and you write to the red eye about it.
But they don't know that.
Your name is Mr. Will Miles on Twitter.
It's true. Oh,
that's your alias is your name, but Mr. in front of it?
It's true. Instead of Daddy, I was going to be like, Sexy Daddy Will Miles.
No, you don't want to be a sexy daddy Will Miles. Maybe
you want to be a sexy daddy.
I want to have kids someday. I want to be that hot dad who goes to PJ and still sleeps with all the kids.
Yay! What's the longest relationship you've been in?
2 months when I was 17.
Seriously?
Yeah. It was a long relationship.
Have you ever been lonely?
Yeah.
It's going to get worse, right?
Yeah. Does that work? Yeah, I've been lonely a lot. I'm very emo, if you will.
Do you want to change your guitar again?
Yeah, I would love one. I would love to.
Do you want to play one?
No, I wouldn't.
What's your favorite band right now?
My favorite band would have to be Young Money Cash Money. Lil Wayne, Drake, and Nicki Minaj.
Really?
No, that's only partially true.
You like Drake?
Drake's very emo, man. He talks about love and
how
it's all wrong.
He was a child actor. He was on Degrassi.
I watched
it. And a Sprite commercial where his head explodes and goes back together.
It's a really good commercial.
Yeah.
My favorite band, though, would have to be... That's tough.
It was a leading question for you to comment on
okay. The
band you saw last
time. Oh, Matt Kim. They're great.
Yeah, that's all.
Matt Kim's awesome. Okay. And the Thrones.
Yeah.
They're great.
Well, that was a stupid question for me to ask.
Oh, man.
Should have asked that. You host an open mic, let's plug that.
All right, I host an open mic this Tuesday. It's called Two Black Dudes and an Open Microphone.
It's every Tuesday.
No, it's just the last Tuesday of the month.
Oh, I thought it was every Tuesday.
We try to make it an event.
And where's it at?
It's at Town Hall Pub.
Which is a great, great bar. It's the only, technically only straight bar in Boys Town.
That's right.
But it's a gay bar, but they just call it the only straight bar.
Pretty much.
One of the best rooms in the city if you're into open mics.
Thank you. That's awesome.
But if you're into open mics, I pity you, because they're very sad. I'm assuming none of those people have been to an open mic, and that's why they're smiling when I mention open mics. Well, we're going to end this interview with a question for the kids. We have a question that needs you to pay number between 162 and 235.
198.
We actually have that. That's very odd. Okay, 198. If eating nothing but a tasteless food paste for a year would make you a lot stronger and more attractive, would you do it?
Fuck yeah. No.
Why?
Because if I can get more attractive than this, I'll take it.
That's good. Where is your next show? Plug it.
July 7th through 10th at the Improv.
That's right.
And the Handle Show.
That's so great. You got a very, very busy July. You deserve it, man. You're very, very my God. Please put your hands together for Will Miles, Mark James, and come up here very soon. Thanks for sitting around, man. Really appreciate it. Oh,
do you want to get You, Me, Them, Everybody audio programming without even thinking about it? Do you use the fantastical Phonotronic audiograph program, iTunes? Have we got a solution for you? Subscribe to You, Me, Them, Everybody. Go to iTunes and search You, Me, Them, Everybody. Or do it the lazy way. Go to YouMeThemEverybody.com and hit the big subscribe in iTunes button. That's YouMeThemEverybody.com. It's the bee's knees.
This is Mark Jank. Mark Jank is in Lesson Words of Paradise. Please welcome Mark. Thank you. Rather than end the interview, or even do an interview, I'm just going to ask you one of these questions from the kids with your questions, and then you're going to play a handful of songs for the delightful crowd.
Lovely.
He did the marathon yesterday. You've done one of the first shows you ever did. You played as a house band for the show, but you never actually got to play your own songs on the show. You never got one of these questions, so I want to ask you one. And you should pick a number between 162 and 235.
I've been thinking about this all night, and I totally want 163.
163, that's a good answer, because you knew it would be there. 163. Is there anything so bad that if you found out your mother had done it, you would turn her into the police?
Wow. Yes.
What would that be?
Kill my sister.
Killing your sister? Yeah. Why did she just murder random people?
Random. If it was strictly, like, random in the strict sense, maybe.
What if she committed genocide, but your sister was still alive?
Yeah, I like my mom a lot, but...
So your mom would be Hitler, and that's okay as long as your sister's alive. Are you a Nazi sympathizer?
I am not a Nazi.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure that's the only time I ever said that in my life, but I believe that.
You should be saying that every day. Wake up every day. I'm not a Nazi!
Wake up, brush my teeth.
I don't brush my teeth with such
to myself,
force
I am
either.
Not a Nazi.
You look like a real sign in your mouth.
You like to get things done.
Did you think this would happen with 163?
I didn't. I thought it was more fluffy and
No, 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 no. We got a God question.
I thought it would be about marshmallows.
A starvation question and a murdering parents question. It's a great, great show. How are you doing, Paul? Fantastic.
My mom is awesome, by the way.
Oh, that's good. That's a good way to start out the set. Ladies and gentlemen, marching.
Raining in Gainesville, and she falls down on me. But I miss her, and things aren't the way they should be. She should be next to me, with her arm around mine, and our heads filled with poetry, and our hearts on our minds. And I unfold a letter, it's written months before. But I'm a hermit and a coward, 'cause I'm not out that door. But life's not a storybook or a film by John Hughes, so I'm stuck here in this smoky room, as blue as the blues, and I miss you. And I miss you. And I wish you could hear me now, and I wish I could show you how I feel. Converse in my mouth, there's a cat with my tongue, somewhere a thief's writing my verse, and a poet has my gun. Behind cathedrals and streetlights, there are shadows of you, and I'm stuck here in this smoky room, just as blue as the blues, and I miss you. I miss you, and I wish you you could hear me now, and I wish I could show you how I feel.
That song was called And I Miss You. This song is called Goddamn My Blood.
She speaks in whispers, when you lean in to hear, she'll bite your neck. or box your ear. There's a whole moon on the spoon she feeds you with, and you swallow it down, though it always makes you sick. Goddamn my blood. Goddamn the platelets that push and shove their way through these veins. Goddamn their conjurings of love. Place a blessing on the clock. It sits there on the mantelpiece. Somehow it turns its own gears, even as it grinds its teeth. The things you'll do, the way she has this hold on you. You're not your own man. Your time's on loan from minute hands. Place a blessing on the clock. It's there on the mantelpiece. Somehow it turns its own gears, even as it grinds its teeth. Crack of the whip, I'm all fingertips and nerves. This earthquake shakes me, but it doesn't shake the floor. Let's you and I walk out the barroom door into the air, into your arms, you're just as strong as mine. Out on the streets, it's all teeth and wagging tongues. You must behave yourself in the town you're from. How our hearts beat, begging air from smokers' lungs into the air, into your arms, just as long as mine. Those arms filled with longing, just like mine. You drive away, should I say you disappear? Too close to call, too close to call you darling here. My telephone may as well not work at all. Too close to call, too close to fall into your arms. Those arms filled with longing. just like mine. Your hips, and I'm all fingertips and nerves. This earthquake in me wasn't here before. You and I walked out the barroom door into the air, into your arms, just as long as mine. Those arms filled with longing, just like mine.
I can play another song.
You have one more?
I do have one more.
One more.
All right. Thank you. The song's called A Magnet in You. In you, and you're crumbling true from a love that's not as strong as your own. So your magnetic heart takes you to the star, to that California town that you call home, where you're all alone. There's a magnet in me, but unfortunately, all it seems to do is repel. It repels you. So my magnetic heart might explain in part why I just can't seem to part with you. I can't stop chasing you. Just the headrest, drive through the Midwest, because I just can't let it be with the magnet in me. When I catch up with you, it'll be strange, true, but I'll turn you around in the name of all who've loved in vain. All my love's in vain, all my love's in vain.
That was good. Thank you. Plug, plug, plug. Where's your next show?
I am playing July 7th at 7 o'clock at Laurie's Planet of Sound.
Oh, really?
Yes, really.
That's going to be a fun little gig. It's just you, right?
I don't know. I think it's just me. It might be other people as well.
Lesser Birds have any shows coming up or no?
The Lesser Birds have no official shows.
Okay, fine. Yeah. Where can people find your music online?
At the iTunes or Contraphonic.com.
Contraphonic is a very, very fine label. We like them here at the show. That sounds weird when I say it's like a we. I like that label. Merle doesn't know who that label is, I'm assuming. Is that right, Merle?
I don't know.
She has no idea who that is. Once again, I want to thank the Whistler. This is a fantastic place. You're already in the venue, but so whatever. But to the listener at home, to the 14-year-old in Oklahoma, once you're of age and you like the taste of a Manhattan, come to the Whistler. It'll be fun.
May I? I don't think it's a... I think she should get a bourbon old-fashioned. That 14-year-old.
Or an old-fashioned. Yep, this is why we don't interview the bands for very long, because they have all this advice. Once again, thanks to the Whistler, thanks to all of our guests. Please, Paul Hornschmeyer was great. Please put your hands together for Paul Hornschmeyer. DK Ettinger, safety tips with DK Ettinger. You can find those on the YouTubes. They were directed by a very, very fine comedian and filmmaker, Michael Sanchez. We have, I wanted to thank Will Miles, stand-up Will Miles, and also, once again, Mark Janka. Thanks for coming, everybody, and have a wonderful night.
Follow us on Twitter at YMTE. Friend us on Facebook at facebook.com/youmethemeverybody. And for details on Monday and Tuesday nights at the Hungry Brain, go to youmethemeverybody.com.